This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Father Tom and Anthony today, and we're looking at the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, the 11th verse. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. What do you think the wolf is looking for? Lamb chops. And we have in the midst of it the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who cares for the sheep. The Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. For you. For you. For me. For us. He lays it down so that he can take it up again. Oh, we need to preach the laying down of Jesus' life on Calvary. We need to preach the power and glory of the resurrection. We need to preach the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for us today. We need to preach the very essence of the Scriptures. You see, people say, you've been on the air for 41 years. How can you do it? Because the Scripture that we looked at 41 years ago today is a new Scripture. It's brand new. The Spirit makes the Scripture alive. Alive. That's why you never outgrow the need to read and meditate on the Gospels, especially on the Gospels. Jesus gives his life for the sheep. You are the sheep. I am the sheep. Jesus lays down his life for you, for me, for us. And he takes it up again in the power of the resurrection. Oh, we need the Good Shepherd to shepherd people. And you see, he gave that responsibility to the church to shepherd people. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what kind of job people have been doing, but so many people are still lost after 2 centuries of the proclamation of the gospel. People are still lost. What about the shepherds? Jesus needs to come to each shepherd and kiss them and wake them up. Oh, yes, so that we know that the proclamation of Jesus' death and resurrection brings life to the believer. You see, why are you so adamant about proclaiming the gospel? I'll tell you why. Because it's between heaven and hell. That's just the way it is. It's between heaven and hell. And I don't want to see anyone going to hell. So we preach Christ and him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, pouring out his Holy Spirit upon his people. I don't want to see anyone going to hell. You see, no one talks about hell anymore. That's too sad. Jesus spoke about hell many times. Some people say, even more, did he speak about hell? Did he speak about heaven? Don't give yourself to hell. Give yourself to Jesus, who saves us from hell. It is Jesus who saved you and I from hell by the power of his precious blood. We have salvation from hell. Again, not many people talk about hell. They talk about, oh, you got to be nice. Oh, no, no. I don't want to be nice. I want to be truthful. I want to be fair. I want to be faithful. I don't want to be nice. I don't want to be nice. The person that you go buy something in a store, they're nice. But the preacher shouldn't be nice. The preacher should be proclaiming the truth in love. Oh, yes, in love. Never to make people feel bad, but to preach the word of God in love. That's what we're called to do. Maybe another person would hear the gospel and be saved. That's what we do. I have no idea who snapped on the radio today. Maybe someone who never heard our voice, and they're hearing the truth that Jesus loves them, and he wants to save them by the blood that he shed at Calvary.
It's not about being nice, but you can always be kind, and you can be soft, because when you walk in the authority and the truth of Jesus Christ, you don't need to yell at people. You can be soft because you speak with authority. That people know that truth is the only thing that comes out of your mouth. That you speak truth, and the authority and the power of Christ is on your words. What words are you speaking? At the prayer meeting on Wednesday, we were all singing a song, glorifying God. Great art you, Lord. And as we were singing, there was just light emanating out of everyone's mouth, and it was filling the church. Because we don't want to speak good words. We don't want to speak nice words. We want to speak the words of life. And as you speak the truth of Jesus Christ, as you glorify and worship God, you're releasing light into this world. You're releasing light into the people you encounter. You're releasing light that changes the spiritual atmosphere of everywhere you go. You see, you carry a spiritual atmosphere with you. That in the spiritual realm, we are filled with the little light. We are filled with a lot of light. We are filled with some darkness. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And you know, sometimes you get around a person and you just feel the warmth and the love of God. Sometimes you get around a person, it's not even what they say. It's a spiritual exchange that you want what they have because they are filled with God's love. They are filled with God's authority. They are filled with God's light. And that is what we are created to be. The quickest way to be filled with God's light is to speak the word of God. The quickest way to be filled with the darkness of the enemy is to criticize and not speak the words of life. Everything that comes out of your mouth should be in accordance with God's will. You see, it's heaven or hell, and God put you on this earth for a mission. The first mission is to love God and be loved by God. Because until you have received that love of Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. You can do nothing effective. You can say the words of the Bible and it may penetrate, but if God's love is not in there, it's useless. But after you are filled with the love of God, God sends you on a mission to pull people out of hell. And your whole life wants to be directed to the charity of God. Charity is loving others because you love Jesus Christ. Loving others for the good of loving God. And God will move you how he moves you every second when you live in his will. The other day, I was leaving the Celtics game, and I was at the train station. I just got this image of, like, these nerds candy in my mind. And, you know, I don't eat candy that much. We can have treats, but God wants us to be healthy and happy body, soul, and spirit. But when God put that on my heart, I said, I'm going to go. And I was leaving the store and they didn't have them. So I'm like, yeah, that's okay. And I turned around and the exact candy that I had the image in my head was right in front of me. So I go, okay, I'm going to buy them. Thank you, Lord. And when I went to the pay, there was a Hindu man cashing us out. And the Holy Spirit said, speak to him. And I told him about the love of God and how much Jesus loved him and the plans he had for him. And there's about 10 people standing around me. And all the other people heard that too. I didn't lay hands on him. I didn't. But it was just an encounter. And who knows what God's going to do with that spirit. The other day I was at work and I just needed a break. I'll pray at work, but I just felt like I needed to go outside. I was just working hard. So it was 3 o'clock. I went outside. I prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet. My head was spinning because it was so busy. I didn't want to talk to anyone. But I was just in the back of the park and praying the Divine Mercy. And there was a kid sitting there smoking an electronic cigarette. And in my thoughts, the Lord said, I guided you out here for him. for him. And I knew it was from God because I didn't want to talk to him. God bless the kid, but I just needed a moment. I've been talking for the last 6 hours. But, you know, I came here not to do my will, but the Father's will who sent me. So I pushed through my flesh. And I, you know, it's really good when you pray the rosary. And I get a lot of them, just like kind of plastic ones. Because when you start by offering someone a gift, it just opens their heart. I just told him, my brother, look, the Lord sent me out here and he wants me to give these rosaries to you. He's blessed for you. And he was Catholic, but he was going through stuff. And I shared the gospel with him. He invited Jesus to come into his heart, to be his Lord and Savior. We prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that he was filled with the fire and the love of God. And you know, it so happened that he worked next door to me in the sushi place. Maybe God's going to give me some free sushi in Jesus' name. But the thing is see, God is moving us. And when we are moving with the Spirit, those who are moved by the Spirit are children of God. And we don't want to put God in a box. One day he wants us to go get candy. The next day he wants us to go pray a divine mercy. But the thing is, God uses everything for the good. I got one more. There's a kid in the North End who God bless him. He's just addicted to drugs and he just steals things from the store and he sells them all around the city. Now, I don't buy things. I don't buy stolen things. Sometimes you come in, you got half a CVS lined up for 80% off. But when I see him, you know what I do? I bring him warm bread. I hug him. I squeeze him. I say, come here, my friend. I'm not going to buy anything, but I'm going to bless you. And the thing about him, he knows he needs Jesus. And every day when I come to me, we pray that Jesus fills him with his love and his Spirit and his power. And he gives him the destiny, because this is not the destiny he has for his life. And every day he keeps coming back and he's still on drugs and he's still stealing things. But what can I do but to pray for him and tell him there's a good shepherd who wants to fill his heart with God's love.
And that good shepherd is for you and for me. That good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. I'm one of the sheep, and so are you. That wonderful good shepherd. And he has plans for you. I hear, or I see someone who just came to the Lord Jesus, gave their life to Jesus. I want to tell you, don't forget that you've given your life to Jesus. No matter what happens, always go back to that moment when you said to the Lord Jesus, I give you my life, I surrender. Oh, yes, because life will happen. Life will happen. And that life will try to overcome the light of Jesus. Don't forget that you gave your life to Jesus. I go back to August of 1968. I go back to that moment in front of the Blessed Sacrament when I experienced the glory of God. And I said to the Lord, you can have my life. Now, I know my life was given to Jesus at baptism and confirmation. But in 1968, I took authority over my life, and I gave my life to him because I needed him. I was desperate. And guess what? He came. He came so simply. I remember after he came, I was with the people who gave us the retreat, and we were going to a bar. Christians going to a bar. We were going to preach the word of God where the people were. And so we went. It was in Salem. It was a bar. And we met this couple. And they were interested. And so what did we do? Let's get out of here and go across the street to the coffee house. And so we did. We went to the coffee house. And we started to tell them about the love of God in Jesus Christ. Two people that God loved, two people that God sent us to, two people. And I'll never forget what happened. Because after we told them about the gospel, they left to go home. And they left, and the bell on the door rang as they left. And I realized I wanted to see the license plate of these people so that I could communicate with them. You know what? The bell rang, and I looked up the street. They were gone. I had no idea how to give them to Jesus. I wasn't going to be in contact with them again, but I could pray for them. These are the things. I can't forget these things. I remember going to a place by the water, and this young man came up to me. Now, what do I have to do with this young man? I need to tell him about the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so I did. And he was interested. And I believe we prayed. And he asked Jesus to come into his heart. You see, we are on mission all the time. When we go shopping, we not only go shopping for chicken and beef and whatever things we want to buy, but we go shopping with Jesus to tell people about the love of God, not in a way that's going to be crass, but in a simple way. I remember being in the grocery store, and I had at that time on me a crucifix. And this woman came up to me and said, "I love your crucifix." So I gave it to her. And I think I told her about Jesus. You see, every opportunity we need to take, every opportunity to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus the Lord to people.
And you don't want to judge, condemn, criticize. You need to embody Jesus to people. You want to meet someone right where they're at. And the perfect love of God is the only thing that leads people to repentance. You know, I never lead with hell. I lead with Jesus has a new life for you. And God sent me to you today because he has a great gift for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit. That whatever you're going through right now, Jesus wants to come into. You see, those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Are you a child of God? God wants to lead you by his Holy Spirit. I was led a year ago to a bar. When I came home, I just felt like I wanted a beer. I barely ever drank, but it wasn't a fleshly desire. We need to be in sync with the Holy Spirit so that we can discern what's of our flesh, what's of God, how the Spirit's moving within us. And that comes from a deep life of interiority and prayer. But once you have that and you have the Holy Spirit within you, I went to a bar that back before I had Jesus, I would go all the time. And I just felt inspired to go in. And there was someone I went to high school with and I hadn't seen in 10 years. And I just came in and I gave him a hug and I just testified what God had done in my life. And I gave him my phone number. And a couple days later, we ended up meeting up for coffee. And he was going through a lot. He was an atheist. He was asking all these questions. We talked for an hour and I said, "Better than talk, let me pray." And I prayed that God filled him with the Holy Spirit. And right outside that coffee shop, God had a divine appointment. He was frozen in the power of the Holy Spirit. He couldn't speak. He couldn't talk. He encountered Jesus. Then a couple months later, he reached out to me. And he said, "What can I do to my faith?" He had been going to a Baptist church or something. I'm like, "If you want to go deeper, go to the monastery." And he went to the monastery. And he encountered the Holy Spirit in a completely new way. And he was led to confession by the witness of Ryan, of how Ryan told him for years, he was going to church. But it wasn't until he went to confession that he felt the scales of the sin come off him. And he felt free like a new creation. And now he went to confession and he's linked in. My car broke down. You know, I said, "Fiat God," the first time I was on top of my car holding the signs that Jesus is King. The second time, we were after radio, the tow truck driver came, and we pray. I prayed for him. Said, God sent you here to me. Said, I'm going to court. I don't want to go to jail. I said, come meet Father Tom. He gave his life to Jesus, and he got filled with the whole. See, every I can't shut it off. Sometimes I wish, God, let me shut it off, but no, because it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And when you ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? It glorifies Jesus. It reveals the thoughts of God to you. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're in constant communication with heaven, that you are a slave to Jesus Christ, that every moment, see, I never go out to try to evangelize. In Salem, I do, when God calls me to go preach and prophesy. But other than that, I'm living my life. And to be honest, I'm just trying to be alone with Jesus. When I have a moment of freedom, I'm praying. I'm praying the rosary. I'm praying divine mercy. I'm praying in tongues. I'm telling Jesus I love him, because I live, and God wants us to live in this one-on-one encounter with me and Jesus. I'm walking in this world, and it is only me and Jesus and our blessed mother and the saints and all of heaven. But when you have that interiority and you live for the single purpose of loving Jesus alone, then guess what? The communication's open wide. The communication's open wide. And when I'm walking, I'm praying the rosary, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit overshadows you. And our Blessed Mother sometimes it's Jesus, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit, because they all have different voices. They all, and you can understand them all. But when you live there, they begin to communicate with you. That Jesus, right now I only want to be with you in prayer, but Jesus says, no, you need to go talk to my child. You need to go talk to my son. You need to go pray for him. And you don't know the words you're going to say, but you walk over in faith and you say, God has sent me to you. And then you just let the Holy Spirit take over your talk. And you begin to pray and release, but you got to break your flesh. There's so many times I do not want to, in my flesh, go and preach to someone, go and pray for someone, go and prophesy over someone. But I break my flesh and I get over myself and I just begin to talk, and God always shows up.
God shows up and he knows who to send, because he knows that the one he sends to is going to bring the person to the new life in Jesus Christ. Yes, there's so many people that they love Jesus, but people aren't sent to them because they don't draw people to Christ. Oh, they have received the new birth experience. That's wonderful. But they just are happy being with Jesus. I'm not happy being with Jesus. I'm going to be happy to get people who are lost to be found in Jesus Christ, because the world is lost, and most people in the world happen to be lost. We need to love them into the kingdom. Mrs. Broccoli said so many years ago about her husband, when I stopped shoving him and started loving him, he came to Jesus Christ. That is the secret. Not shoving, but loving. Loving people into the kingdom. Loving people so that they might have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out. Maybe you've never done it. Well, I'll tell you how to do it. Lord Jesus, send one person to me that I can witness to. Just one person. That person will come. That person will come. And then you need to start to tell what Jesus has done in your life. You need to tell the person that what he did for me, he can do for you also. He's no respecter of persons. It's so wonderful. But you see, most Catholics are closet Catholics. They're in the closet, and they're not outside of the closet. They have a relation with Jesus, but they don't bring that relationship to other people. They say, well, I'm not a priest. Well, you don't have to be a priest. I wasn't a priest from 1968 to 1979, and I brought people to Jesus, even though I wasn't a priest. I was a priest in 1979, and I still, by God's grace, bring people to Jesus.
Just go out there and get them. There's no fear in love, because perfect love drives out all fear. Sometimes I just walk up to people I don't know, and I just give them a hug. The Holy Spirit in me just gives them a squeeze. It's not so much about what you say, but how you say it. That people can feel the love of God. Now, you want to have discernment. Don't just go hugging and putting people in headlocks. But you know what? God in you, don't put them in a box. Jesus in you, he wants to love on people. Because only love brings people in the kingdom.
Only love. Faith, hope, and love. Abide these three, but the greatest is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In season and out of season.